Welcome to my podcast, Musings of a Christian Philosopher, where we talk about deep and often challenging topics of theology and philosophy. I'm your host, Adam Polstra. Let's get started. What do you think it means to be immature? Most people would take the idea of immaturity and simply apply it to, say, a child. A child of about 5 is going to behave in a certain series of ways, maybe particularly imaginative, maybe just extremely playful, high energy, and not really taking much too seriously, of course, because life itself is rather new to them. And people would take those kinds of behaviors and call it immature. But the question is that immature? Think about the word itself, immature. What does it mean to be mature? To be mature, is that simply to have grown up? We talk about reaching maturity in the sense of reaching adulthood or getting past puberty. Typically during puberty, we think that people become rather immature. And perhaps that is a very acceptable definition. But take a look at it a different way. What is mature for a person who is just a child? What is mature for a person who is in their teens and reaching puberty? And what is mature for an adult in their 20s or their 30s? Do we not apply those words sometimes to people in all those age groups? If, for example, you have a child of 5 or 7, behaving in a way that we typically would attribute to an adult, we call it mature. So we apply the idea of mature to a child sometimes, even though the previous definition suggested the direct opposite. A child, by definition, could never be mature. If indeed, in order to be mature, you must simply be an adult, and not a child, and probably not a teenager. But if we can apply the term mature to a child and know what we mean, then clearly a definition that is exclusive to a particular age group doesn't make any sense. Now, I asked earlier, what does it mean for a child to be mature? What does it mean for a teenager? And I used one illustration with the child of them behaving like an adult. But let's look at it slightly differently. What is, in the right time, the way to behave? If you're looking at a child, because I doubt that a child is listening to this podcast, wouldn't really make sense. If a child is behaving in a manner that is expected of a child, are they really immature? They may not be exactly what we call mature, but they're not immature. To behave in a childish manner as a child is to simply be young. It is to be a child. To say that it is the opposite of being mature is simply to avoid the very concept of the term. Immaturity generally has a negative connotation. What is negative about a child behaving as a child? And for that matter, what is negative about a teenager acting as if they are starting to separate from the family unit? What we typically call rebellious. But isn't that exactly what someone who is becoming an adult should be doing? Should they not be making that gradual transition away from their family so that they can go and generate a new family, have their own children, and start a new line of lineage? Is that immature, therefore? No, it's to be expected. Yes, I would agree that they are not quite yet mature, but they are becoming so. So what really does it mean to be immature? In my opinion, it is simply any behavior that is beneath the current stage of development of an individual. So on the one hand, you could have a child who is acting like a child, like I said earlier, being playful, being imaginative, being high energy. That's all fine, because that is basically what it is to be a child. If, on the other hand, they begin to behave in a way that would be more expected of an infant, that would be immature. Now, when do we see a child beginning to behave as an infant? Well, let's look at an infant. What does an infant do? What is expected of an infant? An infant is expected to not speak, to cry, to whelp, to yell, to make some sort of signal, whatever it is that they are capable of, to let the adults in the room know that they have a particular need, or perhaps simply to let them know that they are currently upset. Now, some of those behaviors, of course, translate all the way up into adulthood. An adult who is facing a deep grief and crying is not considered to be immature. But an adult, or a child for that matter, whelping and yelling and using no language, though they are learning language right now and learning it quite well, probably, hopefully, by 5, definitely 6 or 7, but I'm pretty sure 3 is even kind of late. Anyways, if they're simply whelping and yelling and trying to force their way, and trying essentially to be annoying, to be grating and trying on the adults, which is the goal, but the right goal of an infant, well, when you're seeing that in a 5-year-old, that is what we would rightly call, I think, immature. To put it another way, it's not when the child is being lighthearted, playful, fun. When a child has levity and laughter, they're not being immature. It is precisely when they are being quite serious in some ways that they are being immature. When they are using the same kind of tactics as an infant to get their way, or when they refuse to take on the responsibilities that a 5-year-old can rightly start to have. An infant cannot take on such responsibilities, perhaps beginning to set the table or return dishes to the sink. Something very simple like that. They understand that they have those duties, but they refuse to do them. Well, the person who can't do those sorts of things is an infant. A child can. And if they well understand that that is a responsibility that they should be beginning to have, perhaps there's even an allowance or something like that included, or some sort of reward, but they still refuse to do it, that kind of behavior is what we would begin to call immature. Now, on the other hand, if we have a teenager who's starting to reach into puberty, behaving as somebody in their early teens or 9 to 7-year-old or something like that, we would surely call that immature. Now, of course, these things begin to become a little bit more complex, but I think we know it when we see it. Somebody who is currently 16, 17 years old, behaving as if they are 7, are most certainly being immature. Now, here's where things get interesting, and this is why I've been thinking about this concept. What happens when an adult is really behaving immature? There's a lot more ways that they can behave immature because, of course, there's a lot of times of typical human life that are well behind them. Now, let me make a quick note here before moving on. Obviously, there is an exception when it comes to those who have mental handicaps. They quite literally have arrested development, perhaps delayed, perhaps simply stymied completely. They are not able to mentally mature beyond a particular point. That is another matter. They would not be considered, I think, immature, because their very brains are incapable of certain forms of development. I'm talking, of course, about the normal, healthy, average adult human being, male or female. What kind of behaviors can manifest when an adult is behaving immature? Now, the obvious ones that we would first come up with is behaving like an infant, or like a child, or like a teenager, when it is not appropriate. Well, obviously not appropriate because they're already an adult. If an adult is acting in a particularly rebellious way, well, they should have already gone through that phase. if they're behaving in a way where they are constantly not just delved into fantasy, but they're trying to mix fantasy with reality, well, they surely are acting immature, like a child. Or if they're merely screaming, yelping, and crying when they have a need, then very obviously they're behaving in an immature fashion. But what enters into the adult life is a component that I've talked about before in this podcast. It is the desire to look like the right kind of person while still behaving in an irresponsible, immoral, and in the case of this episode, immature fashion. In other words, they don't want to take on the responsibilities of an adult, and they want to behave as if they're still a child of five, but they don't want to look like that's what they're doing. So, what kinds of ways could they try to put on a facade to make it look as if they are taking their responsibilities very seriously, when in reality they are not? Now, some of those methods are gaslighting. Another method is to simply offload your responsibilities onto another. Find somebody who is willing to be your pawn, probably somebody who has undealt with traumas of their own and takes on way too much responsibility. That's a great place for an immature person to attach and then simply start sloughing off all of their responsibilities onto this friend or perhaps spouse or what have you, maybe even their parents. But another method of concealing your immaturity is religion. Now, what do I mean by that? It was Jesus himself who exposed this flaw. And I don't think it's just a flaw. I think it's something a little bit more inherent to religiosity in general. It's in one of the verses that I've mentioned in this podcast before when Jesus is telling the Pharisees that they do their tithing dutifully while ignoring the weightier matters of the law. In other words, you essentially set up a number of rules that sound extremely pious, that have at least some sort of connection with your faith, with your religion, with your belief system, and you follow those, and based on doing that alone, that and pretty much that alone, you consider yourself a good person. But then you can ignore who knows what. See, you've already convinced yourself that you're a good person, and because you're doing something that is pious, you also convince the people around you, particularly your church group, that you are a good person. But then you can go home, and you can be nasty, and you can ignore your responsibilities, you can be cruel to your children and to your spouse. And to be more to the point, you can try to slough off your responsibilities. You can yell and moan and not really be responsible in your own self to supply your needs when you might be hungry or something like that. You can use various manipulation tactics to try to get your way. Not use language, not use reason. And you're deeply, deeply immature. But in public, everybody thinks you're A-okay. Because you have followed the scriptural laws that aren't scriptural laws, they're just human tradition on the basis of religiosity. So this is one of the reasons why I continue to go on as a Protestant Christian, and I'm not really interested in Catholicism or Orthodoxy. The Orthodox Christians. They have a great tendency to have way more rules, and they are specifically religious rules. Many of them having nothing to do with biblical references or commands that we are given directly in Scripture. It's human tradition passed down from generation to generation to generation. Even the Protestant Church sometimes has this same issue. Now, I'm not saying that these human traditions are all bad. They can be wise. But they don't make you a good person. And this is the flaw that I see in all churches. In all religion. All you have to do is follow these traditions so that you can be churchian, and then you're a good person. But you don't actually have to be mature. You don't have to be moral. You don't have to act your age. at least in private. In public, you're all pious and good and kind. Perhaps in some sense. Or at least in a showy way. And I think this is one of the darkest corners of religion. It is the capacity of people to conceal their real character behind assumed piety. And notice the comparison that I just made without mentioning it, and I will now. What was one of the first things that I said was the difference between a child acting their age and being immature. I said it was when a child starts to act very gravely and seriously in certain contexts. I need my needs met. Wah! I'm going to manipulate. I'm going to threaten. I'm going to cry and whine. It is then that they are being immature. When is it that a grown-up is being immature? Is it when they are being lighthearted, kindly, pleasant, sociable? No. It's when they are grave, and when they believe, when they try to convince everybody else around them and themselves that what they are doing is of such great importance, and it means everything because it is the religious good. It is the right biblical thing to do, even when it's not based on the Bible at all. It is when an adult, in the religious sense, and sometimes non-religious as well, behaves very gravely with a false face. Which is, I would argue, more often than not. It was G.K. Chesterton who wrote that it is easy to be heavy, but it is hard to be light. To have levity, to have energy, to have kindness, to be graceful. These things become harder the older we become. And that is one reason why we have this dichotomy of the child and the adult, as if it is just a difference of being light and being heavy. And I don't, of course, just mean our body mass. I mean our attitudes. It's a very easy temptation for us to slip into, to begin to think that everything is so darn important. Because now we're adults and we're figuring out our lives and we're cutting our own path. And we are becoming who we should be. Why? Why, perhaps not well-selected words, why so serious? Why does it need to be this serious? It's been for generations past that we think that it is such a big deal and a momentous occasion, so very important and defining for the rest of our lives, that we go to college. Well, that's starting to fade away. Fact of the matter is, for many people, they know that going to quite a few colleges will actually make them more stupid, more ignorant, and misinformed, even mistaught. If you want to reach a good career, you go to something like trade school, or you learn on the job if a corporation is willing to do so. But we attach this grave religious or religious-esque kind of gravity to these various things, making out as if simply following those rules makes us who we should be. And it is the very fact that that allows us to conceal who we really are that is the fact of its immaturity. See, I don't think that we were ever meant to be so grave. And this is the true essence of where I wanted to get with this topic. What does God see as immaturity? All these things that we consider as adult human beings to be so grave and important. It might be whether or not Easter is a true Christian holiday. It might be whether or not we're supposed to have communion every week at church. It might be whether or not being on the praise team makes you a good person. And we put, some churches more and some churches less, put so much weight on a number of things. And I wonder if God looks down on us and sees mere children. People that are behaving in a manner that should be behind them. It's an episode that I've done before. What are the weightier matters of the law? They're the simple things. How do you treat the people in your home? Do you take up your responsibilities seriously? Do you live with integrity? Again, with Jesus, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Are you honest? See, another thing that I've been meaning to, or that I wanted to say during this episode is we very often consider ourselves so well put together if we go to church every week and maybe greet a few people and pay our tithes and ignore the fact that we lie and cheat in our business practices. What really are the weightier matters of the law? Or, to be a little bit more Christian about it, what really are the weightier matters of Jesus' commands to us? Is it to be churchgoers, to pay our tithes? Or is it to love one another? Is it to be good to each other? To show the world that Jesus is good because we love one another? In my opinion, it is our graveness and our gravity that are among the most humiliating, degrading, and pathetic things that human beings are inclined to do. And with that, said all I need to for today. I hope that gives you much to think about. Until next time.